within the lifetime of the opportunity. And some opportunities have a very short lifespan. There were four girls sitting in the seats right here who were at camp in my daughter's cabin this past summer. And my daughter gave me something to pass on to them. I hope that I'll have opportunity to speak to them personally, perhaps after this meeting. That is, if the opportunity has not slipped away from me. Now, this morning, I'd like us to look in the book of Daniel. There are a few passages here that we would like to consider briefly in the book of Daniel. Comes just after the book of Ezekiel. And those of you who have done any research in the book of Ezekiel, perhaps you know that at least seven times the Lord's servant Ezekiel mentioned that the hand of the Lord was upon him. At least seven times in that book, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Now, Daniel had similar experiences, and Daniel testifies in his book that the hand of the Lord touched him. I attended a meeting in one of the rural assemblies of the island of Jamaica, and they had a very spirited song leader. He really got the congregation singing. As a matter of fact, one of the brethren in the meeting, he said afterwards that we were not only singing, but we were swinging, whatever that means. Well, they were having a great time. And you know the chorus that seemed to mean a lot to the people who attended that meeting was a chorus. The first verse says, "It was on a Sunday somebody touched me." Do you know that chorus? And then it has seven verses, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the folk were encouraged to stand on the day that you were saved. As it is sung, it was on a Wednesday, a few people stood, etc., etc. And they really enjoyed that. Well, the important thing, whether you remember the day of your conversion or not, the important thing is to draw near to God. James says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. And if he draws near to you, you know what he will do? He'll do for you what he did for Ezekiel. He placed his hand on Ezekiel. He'll do for you what he did for Daniel. He touched him. He'll do for you what he did for those little kids. Remember in Mark's Gospel, I think in Luke also, we read that people brought to Jesus young children, that he might touch them. And some of the disciples figured, well, Master doesn't have time for these little kids, and they drove them back. They rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer them to come unto me. Forbid them not. It was his joy, it was his delight to lay his hand upon them. What a wonderful experience. I was reading in Dr. Wheat's, one of his books. He's a great author on marital counseling. And you know, he gives to husbands the best advice. Some of you may know Dr. Wheat's formula for a happy marriage. He calls it the best advice. B-E-S-T. He says, bless your spouse. Edify your spouse. Share with your spouse. And watch this now. Make sure that you touch your spouse. Bless him, edify him, share with him, touch him. And according to Dr. Wheat, that's the best formula for a happy marriage. That's just by the way. I think what we want to talk about for a little while today is the fact that Daniel, this dear servant of God, he experienced a touch from the Master's hand. You know, only this past week, in our home over there in Fort Lauderdale, the radio seems to be on maybe 15, 20 hours a day. It's going all the time. Tuned into one of the three Christian radio stations of the area, WRNB, WMCU, or WAFG. Those of you who go over to the Florida, you hear those stations. They're all 24-hour stations. And I heard on the radio recently a poem that you know very well about the old violin. Don't you know that poem? You've heard it. The old violin that was up on the auction block. And the auctioneer, he couldn't even get $3 for the old violin. Nobody wanted it. But then, just as he was about to bring down the violin for the last time and sell it for $2 or $3, an old man steps forward. He says, wait a minute. He picked it up, dusted it off, tightened the strings, tuned it, tightened the bow, and he played a tune. Everybody listened carefully. The audience was enraptured. They were fascinated. They didn't realize that that shabby old instrument could produce such beautiful music. And when it was finished, the auctioneer says, what am I bidding? Who'll offer me? Who'll offer me $1,000? $2,000? $3,000? Instead of $2 or $3, it went for $3,000. And everybody wondered, what made the difference? Well, it was obvious. The touch of the Master's hand. Have you experienced that touch in your life? Have you ever been close enough to the Lord to have Him lay His hand upon you? You'll never be the same if you experience the touch of the Master's hand. Daniel, chapter 8. Let's read just two verses here in chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. Now, as you were speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, and he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. Daniel, like Ezekiel, experienced the touch of the hand of God. And the reason why God touched him was to make him know. We'll call this the touch for knowledge. The touch for knowledge. In a book entitled Megatrends, I read a sentence that gripped my heart. The author says, "We are drowning in information, but we are starved for knowledge." Drowning in information. Information at our fingertips. Volumes of important information, but we are starved for knowledge. Now, let me ask you, what do you want to know? Is there a desire in your heart for knowledge? I visualize millions, especially of young people, in their quest for knowledge. They attend classes in these great universities and colleges all over the world. Some folk leave the Bahamas and they go to Britain, they go to Germany, they go to Switzerland, they go to various parts of the world to get an education. And I am not knocking high learning. God bless all those who have the ability to assimilate the information that is shared with them. And they go after the degrees, and they go after these scholarships, and they are in search of knowledge. But you know, I am of the opinion that no person is truly educated unless he has a knowledge of the Word of God. No person is truly educated unless he has met and knows the Lord. It's very important that we get to know Him. It's very important that we meet with the Master. It's very important that there's a time in our experience when we are introduced to Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel was a man who knew the Lord. Daniel was a man that often spoke with the Lord. Daniel was a man that kept in touch with the Lord. One day the Lord comes by and he says to Daniel, "Listen," he touched him, "I want you to know. There's something else I want to reveal to you. I want this information to sink into your head and to sink into your heart so that you can share it with others." And he gave him what we may call the touch for knowledge. May God grant that all of us gathered here today will get that touch. There are a lot of things that I need to learn, that you need to learn and understand. But there is one person that we should get to know better than anybody else in the whole wide world. And you know, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians, he told them, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to get to know Christ. I want to know Him better. I want to be closer drawn to Him. I want to be so near to Him that I can reach out my hand and touch Him and feel His hand upon my life, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, do you know the Lord? Have you met with Him? The Lord knows all about us. I like the 139th Psalm. I think Psalm 139 is a beautiful psalm. David says, Lord, Thou hast known me. Thou hast searched me and known me. You know my downsetting. You know my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. There's nothing that's hid from You. So He knows all about us. He knows the very thoughts that pass through our minds. And you know, I'm glad that He doesn't project these thoughts on a screen so that everybody else can see and know what we are thinking about. But the Lord knows everything about us. What do we know about Him? How well do we know Him? Are we acquainted with Him? In the book of Job, we have the exhortation, acquaint now thyself with Him. Meet Him. Shake hands with Him. The psalmist says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you. Come to know Jesus Christ. And Daniel, he got that touch for knowledge. Oh, may we get that touch for knowledge. I was in a bookstore in Fort Lauderdale a few weeks ago, and I saw a book on one of the shelves there. The title was 10-minute walk through the Bible. Just a small booklet, really. 10-minute walk through the Bible. Now, some folk will buy that book, pick it up, read it in 10 minutes, and they figure, well, I got a good understanding of the Bible. But you know something? It takes a lot more than 10 minutes to know the Bible. And it takes a lot of time to get to know a subject or a person. My wife sends her greetings for you all. I'm sorry she wasn't able to accompany me. But she said something to me recently, you know, because we husbands goof every now and again. Any of you guys ever goof? Well, I goofed. And you know what she said to me? She said, honey, you mean we have been married for 41 years and you don't know me yet? Well, that really rubbed me, you know. Don't know me yet. I figure, well, if anybody knows her, I do. In order to get to know people, you really have to associate with them, right? You have to be close to them. And the Lord is here saying to Daniel, I want you to be close to me. It's necessary that we have precious communion with each other. It's necessary for me to impart to you. I want you to know what's going to happen. Because you'll have the responsibility of sharing this information with others of my people. So may we get, as Daniel got, the touch for knowledge. Look at chapter 9, verse 20.
we could spend all morning with chapter 8. But chapter 9, verse 20. Daniel says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, the holy mountain of my God, verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Getting the knowledge is one thing, but having skill and understanding, that's something else. A young man of my acquaintance, when he was 16 years of age, he wanted to get his driver's license, so he got the road code, nice big book with all the laws and regulations for traveling on the highways. He got the road code, and he literally memorized it. And he studied the road code. You know why? He wanted to make sure that the examiner would give him the license. The day he goes for his license, he does the written test, no problem. Jumped in the car with the examiner, and in a few minutes he was told, you have failed. Poor guy, his heart sank to his boots. He was so disappointed. He almost cried. He was looking forward to getting his license. But he failed. He had the knowledge. But he didn't have the skill and the understanding. Coupled with the knowledge, we need skill. And understanding. And God desires that we should be skillful. Not only in your business or in the games you play. Some folk are very skillful with the typewriter or skillful at the computer. Some are very skillful on the football field. Some are skillful with a golf club, and they understand just what to do to make a high score. And they are skillful in handling the affairs of the home, etc., etc. But I believe that God's people need a greater degree of divine skill in the things of God. To rightly divide the word of truth. Daniel got the touch for knowledge. Later on, he got a touch for skill and understanding. It's my prayer that we will have these touches. First for knowledge, then for skill and understanding. Because the Lord wants us to know what to do, and He wants us to know how to do it. When David was giving instructions to his son Solomon concerning the building of the temple, he advised Solomon to get competent, experienced, skillful men who could work with the gold, the silver, the woodwork, the linen, every man according to his varied abilities. And David made it clear to Solomon that they have to be cunning in the authorized version. In some Bibles it's translated skillful, skillful men for these particular areas of service. I was at a camp a couple of years ago, and things didn't go very well at camp. There were a couple of things that were just not right. Camp. And then, for camp the following year, there was a reorganization of the team. And in looking back over the camping period for the previous year, they said, the guy who was leading the singing, he was taken from that job. He really wasn't a good song leader. But you know what his skill was? He could wash pots. You never seen anybody wash pots like that guy. Cunning, skillful fellow. Big mound of dishes. And I mean, he'd do a good, thorough job washing pots. And the brethren said to him, that's where you belong. The lady who was in the kitchen cooking, preparing meals, she was a very accomplished pianist. They took her out of the kitchen and put her at the piano. That's where you belong. The man who was looking after the accounts and collecting the money, he didn't do an excellent job. He got the figures all mixed up and the additions were incorrect, and he didn't have John Brown's fee credited to John Brown, though it had been paid. And they got an accountant, a guy who was well skilled in that particular area of work. That's where he belongs. The Lord has given you some skill. He has given you some understanding. And He desires to touch you and to sharpen your abilities, not only to serve in business or to serve in the home, but to serve in His vineyard. Oh, may we have knowledge. May we have skill and understanding. Time is running away from me, but turn over, please, to chapter 10 and verse 8. Chapter 10. Daniel was left alone, saw this great vision. There remained no strength in him. His comeliness was turned into corruption. He retained no strength. He heard the voice of his words. When he heard the voice of his words, then he was in a deep sleep on his face and face toward the ground. Now verse 10 of chapter 10. Behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Touch for prayer and dependence upon God. If you look back into chapter 6, you'll discover that he was a great man of prayer. Because in chapter 6, we read of him opening his window, you know. And verse 10 was when he knew that the writing was signed. He went to his house, his windows being opened, his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, gave thanks before his God as he did previously. So thrice per day, here he is praying. But the Lord touches him and He sets him upon his knees and upon the palms of his hands. In other words, he is saying to Daniel, keep on praying. And if you ever got discouraged in prayer, and if you ever have a request, you're placing it before the Lord, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and the answer doesn't come through. You know, Paul says to the Galatians, be not weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. And my message to you from this third touch of Daniel is, keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. I was talking to some of our brethren in Fort Lauderdale recently, and I said to them, brethren, I'm sorry to tell you, but I know believers in our assembly here who have never been to a prayer meeting in this chapel. The That's over in Florida. We're now in the Bahamas. What do you think of the prayer meeting?
How important a meeting is it?
I believe God wants to do for us what He did for Daniel.
Touched him, set him upon his knees and upon the palms of his hands.
There's a whole lot that could be said concerning prayer and dependence upon God. Pray one for another. Look at chapter 10, verse 15. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground. I became dumb. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. Do we need that? I need it. Anytime I'm going to give a message, I ask the Lord, Lord, touch my lips.
I pray like David. You remember his prayer in the 19th Psalm? He says, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Daniel's lips were touched.
Then he was able to open his mouth and speak.
One of our elders approached a young brother. He says, I want you to open the meeting tonight. You know what the brother replied? Not on your life.
I can't say anything in public.
Another brother of my acquaintance was told, obviously he says, I see this brother in the audience tonight. We're going to ask him to close in prayer. The brother who was challenged to close in prayer, he stood and he said, we'll close in silent prayer. Do your lips need to be touched? Now this is a big subject. It said, speech is silver. What is silence? Gold. Heard one preacher say, most of the time it's just yellow.
Not gold.
There are times when
the redeemed of the Lord have to say so.
Testify. Tell others what the Lord means to you, what He has done for you. And Daniel, though he was a man of tremendous ability, yet God touched his lips. He was able to open his mouth and speak. And then, last of all, in this same chapter, we read here in verse 18, then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. You ever felt weak, feeble, insufficient for the task?
The Lord wants to strengthen you.
And I would recommend to any who desire to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, read Ephesians chapter 6. I close my Bible because the time is up. Read Ephesians chapter 6. And heed the exhortation to put on the whole armor of God. It's only when we are thoroughly prepared for the conflict and have the whole armor of God that we can be strong in the power of His might. May God grant that even as Daniel was touched, we too may receive a touch. Now, I don't know which touch you need. Maybe we need all of them. But whatever your need, Jesus can meet it today. Shall we bow in prayer?
Lord, there are some of us here who need to feel thy hand upon us. Possibly there are some who have strayed from thee, and they need to be closer drawn to thyself. Like Daniel of old, Lord, we need that thou shouldest touch us, give us knowledge, give us skill, give us understanding, give us dependence upon thee. Give us utterance. May we speak for thee. And may we be strengthened to serve thee acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Whatever our needs may be, minister to us, we pray. And if there are any in our gathering not yet saved, grant them a touch that will draw them to thyself. And may they accept thee as Lord, Master, and Savior. Give help in all the activities for the rest of this day, and bless thy word to our hearts. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Look forward to seeing you, those who can return for the meeting tonight, God willing.